Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted this year's Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining us, Mr. Humble. Mr. Humble here, and glad to be with you as always. Rick Maher is our guest. He is an organization change consultant. He also does a lot of speaking, but he also is an outstanding author, and I'm holding a couple of books in my hand. That are pretty important books. One is called Why Don't You Want What I Want? I love that title, Why Don't You Want What I Want? And I ask that question all the time. And then the other one is called Beyond the Wall of Resistance by Rick Maurer. Rick, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Good to be here, Jim.
It's one of the annoying things in my life. I just don't understand why everybody doesn't want what I want. I mean, Rick, I'm 99.44% perfect. And, you know, I'm logical. I'm reasonable. I'm a nice guy. Why? I just don't understand why I have so much trouble getting other people to do what I want them to do.
Well, there are a couple of possible reasons. One, you may be hanging out with stupid people.
No, I think that's what they said.
Yeah.
I heard one of them say that once.
Yeah. Or it could be how you're presenting the idea. And it may have, in fact, what I find is that it's often not the idea that kills us. It's how we present it.
So it is, in fact, it's not the message. It is, in fact, the messenger. Is that what you're saying?
Quite often.
I believe that. No, I have actually seen that happen. I mean, how many times have you seen the commercial where the guy is telling about the underling in the meeting has this great idea, and everybody and then nobody does anything, and then the boss says the same thing.
Yes.
But he moves his hands a different way, and everybody goes, oh.
Right.
And he says, I just said what you said. And they said, well, you know, something like, you know, some have it and some don't.
Yeah.
And so I mean, and actually, to be honest with you, I have actually felt that way before. I've said, I've looked over to somebody and I said, didn't I just say that?
Exactly.
And well, it was just the way you said it. So could it be the 99.44% perfect attitude, though? Could that be part of it?
I think it's a combination of things. And certainly attitude's a significant part of it. But I think there are three reasons why people oppose our ideas. One is they don't get it. Two, they don't like it. And three, they don't like us. And so sometimes, clearly...
I've heard you say that before, and it's always funny.
You know, sometimes, clearly, it is the idea. They don't understand the idea. Or, or something about the idea doesn't make sense to them. And mm-hmm. But that's the easiest one. That's the easiest level, if you will, to deal with. But the others, if they don't like it, often that not liking it is an emotional reaction. And that emotional reaction isn't some little touchy-feely thing. We're talking about fear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fear that if I follow Jim's idea, I'm going to lose a lot of money, or I'm going to lose my job, or I'm going to look like, I'm going to look foolish.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's, I don't like you, basically what I'm saying by that is, I don't trust you. I don't, you know, overall... Well, let's not turn it on you. Let's turn it on me.
That's okay.
That I say,
I get paid to take a break.
Okay. Well, but let's say I go, hey, Jim, I got this great idea. And you're listening to it, and you're thinking, I understand what he says. And in fact, I kind of like the idea. I think it's important. But, boy, Rick, he's just not the one to take me there.
Right message, wrong messenger.
Yeah. And you might even say, you know, I like Rick. He's a good guy. When we get together, we golf and we talk and we do all that stuff. But man, I could lose my retirement.
Yes.
And so what's critical is paying attention to those three things all the time when we're trying to influence them. Do people get it? Do they like it? Do they have confidence in us?
Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen, and I've actually done this myself. I've actually called somebody up and I'd say, I've got this idea. What do you think about it? And they would say, hey, I like that idea, and why don't you introduce it? And I'd say, well, I think I'm the wrong person
yes.
in this particular situation. I think it would come out improper, or whatever the reason would be. I'm not the right guy to bring this message. If you like my idea, if you think it has merit, I'd like to ask you to introduce it.
Yeah.
I've done that. I've seen other people do that with success. And because sometimes it might hurt a little bit, folks, but sometimes you're not the right messenger.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you don't have to say, you don't have to assume it's because there's anything wrong with you. It's just that there's something wrong with you in that sense.
Yeah, I think that's a really good distinction, because that's, it could be you, it could be your history together, but it could be who you represent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or what you represent. Stand by, Rick. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We've got more stuff to come, more good stuff with our good friend Rick Maurer. He's the author of Why Don't You Want What I Want? 20 Till. Stay with us. Back at 17 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. And when you get there, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And also, by the way, the main article this week is called Business Life Forms. It's where I talk about the different kinds of business entities that you can have and when you should morph into another entity. And so you still got time to get that article. Rick Maurer is our guest. He's the author of Why Don't You Want What I Want? I encourage you to check these books out. Anything that Rick has to say, folks, is going to impress you and will give you some new insights into working with other people, into developing your organization, and I certainly recommend them to you. And, Rick, why don't you tell us where they're available?
Sure thing. The easiest way to get them would be to go to our website, which is beyondresistance.com.
Okay. And are they also available in any of the online stores?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you can find him there. Let me spell his last name for you, ladies and gentlemen. It's M-A-U-R-E-R, Maurer, M-A-U-R-E-R, if you're typing that in or if you're asking the local bookstore for any of Rick's books. Okay, Rick, we're talking about the phenomenon or the interesting situation where some people are better at getting their ideas across than others are.
Yeah.
And you know, I've known people like this, Rick, and they're really annoying. It's almost like everything that they when they open their mouth, everything that they say, everybody else goes, wow. I mean, the guy could say, you know what? Electricity, or lightning has electricity in it. Or lightning is electricity. And everybody would go, wow, who would have thought of that?
Yeah.
You know, they're so annoying.
I know.
What do we do about these people?
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, actually, some people just have a capacity that they speak, and other people go, wow, electricity.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are other situations, too, where it's a political thing, and people are, you know, basically, the boss says it, just like that commercial you said.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and that's different. I mean,
right.
But there are some people, you know, when I mean, my work in organizations is trying to help people get their ideas up and running and build support. And it's one big thing that seems to separate people is that the people who are more successful pay attention to the context. They pay attention to the timing. They pay attention to who their audience is.
Mm-hmm.
They could tell you, if I were to say, Jim, this afternoon you're going to be going out and you're going to be talking to so-and-so trying to get this idea across or this product sold or whatever. I said, what do they think of you? The better people on influencing will be able to say, here's what they think of me.
But some of them will say, what's that got to do with anything?
Exactly. And those are the ones who will keep trying to sell their idea based on its features and benefits,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to miss the whole context.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's been research in sales. Neil Rackham has done great research, and he found out that better salespeople don't use closing techniques.
Right.
In other words, they don't try to push the sale. What they do is they build really solid relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And solid relationships doesn't mean they come to town and they get you drunk and they tell great jokes. It means that when they walk in the door, you see someone who understands your business, understands your problem, is there to work with you. That same phenomenon can happen inside the workplace itself. That when somebody comes around the corner, either you're thinking, oh, great, here comes Jim. When we have a conversation, he really gets what's going on for me. Mm-hmm. Or, uh-oh, here comes so-and-so. You know, and all they're doing is trying to sell me something.
It's all going to be about them. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, I was imagining people listening to us saying, well, how do I get other people to like me? How do I get them to gravitate toward me, to listen to what I say? And my response to that would be, don't say anything. Listen to what they say. You know, shut your mouth. And it's amazing how much people like you if you let them talk.
It is amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, in fact, I have two rules. These are pretty sophisticated, so your listeners may want to write them down. And rule number one is shut up. And rule number two is remember rule number one.
Exactly.
And it's amazing how hard those rules are.
Well, it is. And I'm guilty. I got my hand up, folks. I'm as guilty as the next, maybe even more so. But how about this idea? How about the way you introduce an idea? To me, this is something I've been working on for a few years now, Rick. And that's let's say I've got this great idea. I mean, it's literally the next bread slicer of the world. And it's going to turn our organization around. I'm convinced of it. And I come up to you and I say, Rick, I've got this great idea. It's a new bread slicer. And here's what it looks like. What do you think? That's one way. The other way would be to say, Rick, what do you think would happen if we had a new bread slicer? What would happen? How would it, you know, in other words, sort of let them, don't tell them it's wonderful. Just let them, you know, get their response from your idea. What do you think?
I think that's a far better approach. Because they may say, hey, I don't eat sliced bread, or gee, that would be great, and they start to fill in the blanks. But all of that is still surrounded by what's our relationship. So if you and I have a good relationship, like I basically can count on you, you come up with good ideas that help me out, and you come in and say, hey, Rick, what would be like, I mean, would there be any advantage to having a new kind of bread slicer?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I go, I'm already inclined to listen to you.
And you know, Rick, when in the 21st century, the partnership model of management is much more successful than the dominator model. And folks, if you're a boss, this is the way to operate, the way to approach your employees too. Just because you're the boss doesn't mean you're going to be successful shoving it down their throat. Tintail, stay with us. We'll be right back with Rick Maurer.
And leave your body alone.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. The small business advocate, Rick Maurer, is our guest. His book is called Why Don't You Want What I Want? How to Win Support for Your Ideas Without Hard Sell, Manipulation, or Power Plays. And, Rick, can we really make it this? Can we really make that happen if we read your book?
First time, every time.
Every time. Automatic, guaranteed.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah. I mean, truthfully, I mean, I think we can increase the odds in our favor. You know, that trying to influence somebody else to buy something or go along with our idea, it's a dance. It's between the other person and you. And so there's nothing that you can do unilaterally to make stuff happen. But I really believe if you follow these principles, you can increase your success rate. And I've seen people do it. It's worked for me, and it's worked for a lot of my clients.
Well, and folks, the reason why I think it's so important for small business owners to understand these things is because, Rick, we have too many hats to wear and not enough heads to put them on.
Yeah.
And the only way to get that kind of multitasking done is to have really good people. And the only way to get them really good is for them to be with you for a while. And the only way to keep them with you for a while is if they feel like there's something in it for them.
Yeah.
And the way that you make something in it for them is if they like your ideas and they come to work, they don't come to work to get their paycheck. They come to work because they love what they do. And if it's what you want to do, it's obviously your business, folks. If you're the owner, you got to figure out how to get that across to them. But not only, you know, Rick, but not only that, we've been talking about getting my ideas, getting you to accept my ideas. This is also a very powerful method that you have here for getting my ideas forged into a better idea with the other people in my organization.
Absolutely. You know, Sonny, you're saying that. I was watching on A&E last night a biography of Andy Griffith.
Yeah.
And it was talking about his old show and how loyal the people were. And Ron Howard now, he said he was always open to ideas. And he said, I was 7 years old, and I was trying to do this line. And I said, you know, I don't think a seven-year-old would say that. And he said, everybody stopped. And Griffith said, so what would a seven-year-old say? And he said, well, I think, a seven-year-old would say this. And he said, great, let's do it. You know, and he said, it was just amazing for him. Here he is 7 years old, or eight, or however old he was, and this major star, and these people said, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, when that kind of stuff happens...
That's magic, isn't it?
It's magic, yeah. And what it takes is us getting our ego out of the way.
And there's another thing that you got to do, I think. You got to get your ego out of the way before you say this so that you can receive the benefit of it. But you got to learn how to say, what do you think?
Yeah. And you need to say, what do you think? And you need to be willing to listen to what they say.
That's the part about getting your ego out of the way first. You know, and don't ask the question.
Yeah.
The trial lawyers will tell you, never ask a question if you can't deal with the answer. Never ask a question of a witness on the stand. So don't ask that question if you're not prepared to deal with the answer.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. The best statement I ever heard about listening came from Alan Alda. And he said that we need to listen with a willingness to be changed. In other words, if I ask you, gee, Jim, what do you think? I need to be willing to be influenced by what I hear.
And which really makes it hard if I think I'm 99.44% perfect.
Yes, and if that's
true...
That's
going to be hard to change me, because why would I change if I'm perfect?
Exactly. And if that were true, then I'd say, don't ask them.
Exactly.
Just go ahead and take your chances. But, you know, don't ask for something, because if they come back with, say, no, we want it in blue, and your heart's set on doing it in red, then what are you going to do with that information?
Well, you and I both know that some business decisions have to be made by the boss, and there can be no discussion.
Absolutely.
I mean, if we don't have the money, there's no that we don't. Why discuss? You know, what to do with the money we don't have. So, but there are some things that aren't like that, and we need to make sure that we don't ask the questions that we can't change.
Yeah.
But that we do ask the questions of the things that we can use some help on. Rick Maurer, give us your website one more
sure
time.
Sure thing. It's beyondresistance.com.
And can they find out about all your books there?
Yeah, and there's free articles there and assessment tools, all kinds of stuff they can get for free on there.
And if they'd like to have some help changing their organization, making sure that if they change in the right way, they can get you there to do that, can't they?
Absolutely.
BeyondResistance.com. Rick Maurer, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
We'll get you back again another day. Rick Maurer, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, each and every one. Because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.